All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive. This time we're digging into a case. It's called Cullinane v. Uber Technologies. You know, it really gets into this whole messy world of how we make agreements online, especially those terms of service, you know, the ones we all kind of just scroll past.
Yeah, exactly. And this case really digs into that, especially when it comes to things like, you know, arbitration clauses, which are becoming more and more common. Like, what does it actually mean to agree to something online? You know, are you really bound by all those terms just because you clicked a button?
It is a huge question, right? It kind of feels like every website, every app, they all have these terms and they can be super long and complicated and no one really reads them. But then, you know, companies try to use them to their advantage in court, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this case, Cullinane v. Uber, it's a really important one because it helps us understand what makes a digital agreement, you know, actually enforceable in court. Like, what are the rules? And it really gets at this intersection of online contracts and, you know, the whole world of arbitration and how we protect consumers in this digital age. It's a lot to unpack.
It is. And so to get started, like, what's the core legal question here?
Well, I guess the simplest way to put it is this. When you click that sign up button, you know, for any online service, really, what are you actually agreeing to? Like, what makes those digital terms legally binding?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I know we've got some sources today that kind of dive into this, right?
We do. And they look at it through the lens of this specific dispute involving Uber. And it was all about airport fees. Uber tried to enforce their terms of service to settle it, but it didn't quite go as planned.
Interesting. Okay. So for everyone listening, our goal today is to break down the legal principles that were at play in this Uber case, you know, try to get a sense of the bigger picture. How are these online contracts actually formed? How are they enforced? And, you know, for all you aspiring lawyers out there, particularly our LexPlug listeners, this case has some really valuable insights into this whole evolving area of digital law.
For sure. And Cullinane v. Uber, like I was saying, it's really significant because it forces us to think about that balance, you know, the balance between making online agreements easy and convenient, which everyone wants, and making sure consumers are protected. Like, are people really aware of what they're agreeing to?
Yeah.
Are they giving up important rights without even knowing it?
Yeah. And I know in this case, it all started with a class action lawsuit, right?
Exactly. A group of people sued Uber, claiming they were being charged excessive fees for rides to and from Logan Airport in Boston. You know, on the surface, it seemed like a pretty straightforward case.
Right. Like, you get in the Uber, you go to the airport, you pay a fee. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal was how Uber responded. They didn't just fight the claims directly. They tried to completely sidestep the whole class action. They said, nope, this has to go to arbitration. And they pointed to their terms of service as justification. You know, that whole, by creating an account, you agree to the terms argument.
Oh, right. That's the classic move. And how did that work out for them? I mean, did it fly?
Well, initially, yeah. The lower court actually sided with Uber.
Well,
they basically said, look, you signed up, you agreed to the terms, case closed. But thankfully, that wasn't the end of the story.
So there's more to it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. The First Circuit Court of Appeals took a look at it, and they reversed that decision. And that's what makes this whole thing so fascinating from a legal perspective. It challenges our assumptions about what constitutes a valid agreement, especially online.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. Who were these people suing Uber in the first place?
So the plaintiffs in this case were Rachel Cullinan, Jacqueline Nunez, Elizabeth Stroll, and Ross McDonough. And they all created their Uber account sometime between December 2012 and January 2014. And that time frame is important because it was during a specific period when Uber's app, you know, the design of it, was a big part of the issue.
So when these folks signed up for Uber, what did they see? Like, what was the screen that became so crucial in this case?
All right. So picture this. It's the final payment screen in the sign-up process. You've put in all your information, you know, your credit card details, and right below that, there's a line of text that says, by creating an Uber account, you agree to the terms of service and privacy policy. And that phrase, terms of service and privacy policy, it's a hyperlink.
Okay, that's pretty standard, right? Like, almost every website does that. What was the problem?
The problem, and this is where it gets really interesting, is in the details. That hyperlink, it was in a gray box with white text. And the First Circuit, they took issue with that. They said it didn't really stand out. You know, we're so used to hyperlinks being blue and underlined that a gray box just blends in. It doesn't scream, hey, click here, important legal stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, it's almost camouflaged.
Exactly. And on top of that, the font size was pretty small compared to the other stuff on the screen. especially the part where you're entering your credit card info. So naturally, people are going to be more focused on that, right? It's like the most important thing on that screen.
So you've got this tiny little hyperlink that's the same color as the background, and it's competing for attention with your credit card details. It's no wonder people miss it.
Yeah, and the court basically said that all this, you know, the lack of visual cues, the small font size, it all contributed to the idea that there wasn't what they call reasonable communication of the terms. Like a reasonable person wouldn't have necessarily known they were there, let alone what they said.
Okay, so that's one part of the legal test, right? What about the other part? The unambiguous, what was it?
Unambiguous assent. Yeah, so that basically means that someone has to clearly show they agree to something. And in this case, the court said that Uber didn't really do enough to get that unambiguous assent from users. They didn't have to click on the link to the terms. They didn't have to scroll through them. There wasn't even a checkbox to tick, you know, the classic I have read and agree thing.
So Uber's argument was basically, well, they could have clicked the link, so they must have agreed.
Yeah, essentially. But the court didn't buy it. They said, look, without some clear action from the user, like clicking a checkbox or something, you can't just assume they agreed to all these terms. Just because they created an account doesn't automatically mean they knew about and agreed to everything in those hidden terms.
It's almost like they're saying the design of the app itself, like how Uber presented the terms, that was part of the problem.
Absolutely. And that's a big deal for anyone working in this space, you know, designing apps, creating websites, drafting these online agreements. This case shows that you can't just bury your terms and conditions in a tiny little link and expect them to hold up in court.
So what should companies be doing differently? Like, what are some best practices based on what we've learned from this case?
Well, first off, make those links obvious. Use the standard blue underlined text. Make sure there's a clear contrast with the background so they pop out. And even more importantly, require some action from the user, like a checkbox they have to click that specifically says they've read and agreed to the terms. That removes any doubt about whether they actually consented.
Yeah, a checkbox. That makes a lot of sense. So clicking sign up isn't enough. You have to explicitly say, I agree somewhere.
Right. And that's especially important for things like arbitration clauses, you know, because those involve giving up some pretty significant rights, like the right to sue in court or join a class action. Courts are going to be extra careful about those, making sure that people really understood what they were agreeing to.
So the takeaway here is if you're going to include an arbitration clause, make it super clear. Don't try to hide it.
Exactly. This case is a warning shot to companies. Hiding those clauses in the fine print, those days are over. Courts are going to be looking very closely at how these things are presented, and if it's not clear and conspicuous, it might not be enforceable.
It's like the Wild West of the internet is finally getting some rules.
That's a good way to put it. And, you know, to be clear, the Cullinane case, it didn't actually decide whether arbitration itself is fair or not. The issue was whether there was even an agreement in the first place. They didn't even have to look at the arbitration clause itself because they said the whole terms of service agreement was invalid.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't about the content of the terms. It was about how they were presented.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to remember that conspicuousness, you know, whether something stands out enough, that's going to depend on the context. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. What works on one website or app might not work on another. It depends on the design, the layout, all those things.
It's almost like a design challenge then, right? Like, how do you make these legal terms stand out without ruining the user experience?
Yeah, and that's the balancing act. But the key takeaway is that companies have to be deliberate about it. They can't just assume people will see and understand these terms. They have to actively think about how to present them in a way that's fair and transparent.
Like you said earlier, it's about protecting consumers, making sure they're not unknowingly signing away their rights.
Right. And one of the sources we looked at, they have this great quote, "Electronic bargaining must have integrity, clear notice, and assent aren't optional." I think that really sums it up.
That's a great quote. It really highlights the responsibility that companies have in this whole process.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners out there, especially you future lawyers at LexPlug, this case is a perfect example of how the law is constantly evolving to keep up with technology. The rules of the game are changing, and cases like this one are setting the precedence for the future.
So to recap for everyone, the big takeaway from Cullinane v. Uber is that presenting online terms, especially those arbitration clauses, in a clear and obvious way, that's crucial. And just as important, you have to make sure users actually agree to them. It can't just be assumed.
Yeah, exactly. So the next time you're designing an app, you know, or giving legal advice about online agreements, remember this case. It's a reminder that the way you present those terms is just as important as what they actually say.
It's not just about the words, it's about the whole experience.
Exactly. And I think that leads us to a really interesting question for our listeners, especially those in law school. You know, think about all the new technology that's coming out, VR, AR, the metaverse. How do we apply these same principles to these new ways of interacting online?
Yeah, that's a good one. How do you make a contract in the metaverse? What does informed consent look like in VR? Those are going to be some big legal challenges in the years to come.
For sure. The law always has to play catch up with technology, but cases like Cullinane, they give us a starting point, a framework to think about these issues.
Well, on that note, I think we've done a pretty good job of unpacking this case. Thanks for joining me for another deep dive.
My pleasure. Always a good time to geek out about the law.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Keep those legal brains engaged, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.